Low-end Mono Checks Masterclass with Live 12 Stock Packs, Intermediate Edition. Today we're doing one of the most important, least glamorous skills in drum and bass, making the low-end survive mono. Because here's the truth. In DNB, the low-end is the record. And if your kick and sub don't sum cleanly in mono, it's not a maybe the club system was weird problem. It's a mix problem that will show up on big rigs, small speakers, phones, and anywhere the stereo image collapses. The good news is, you don't need fancy plugins. We can do this with Ableton Live 12 stock devices and stock packs, with a workflow that's fast, repeatable, and actually helps you make decisions instead of second-guessing. By the end, you'll have a mini template, clean kick and sub routing, a bass group rack that keeps the sub mono but lets the top stay wide, and a master mono check you can toggle in seconds. And we'll build a small DNB arrangement so you're not judging low-end in a pointless 2-bar loop. All right. Let's set it up. First, start a new live set and set your tempo to 174 BPM. If you like it slightly faster, 176 is fine, but 174 is the classic pocket. Now load DNB ready source material. This matters more than people want to admit. Go into packs, look for drum and bass or breaks, and grab a clean DNB kick and a snappy snare. Then add a break layer, something E-man or think flavored if you've got it in your library, or any chopped break that gives you movement. For the sub, we're staying stock, operator or wave-eatable. And quick reality check, don't plan on fixing a messy kick later. Start with a kick that already feels tight and controlled. If the kick sample has a massive sub tail, it will fight your sub synth even if everything is technically mono. Now let's build proper routing. Create an auto track for kick. Create a MIDI track for sub. Make a bass group that contains sub and any mid-bass you'll add later. And make a drums group that contains kick, snare, and breaks. The reason we separate it like this is control. You want to manage the sub and bass without constantly messing up your drum bus, and vice versa. Next, we make the sub intentionally mono at track level. This is non-negotiable for most DNB. On the sub track, drop in utility. Set width to 0%. That's hard mono. No kind of mono. Actual mono. Then add EQ8 after it. Put a high pass filter at around 20 to 30 Hz. Steep slope, something like 24 dB per octave. All that rumble down there just eats headroom and makes limiters work harder without giving you useful punch. If your patch has some boxiness, you can lightly dip around 150 to 250 Hz, but don't default to it. Only if you hear it. If you're using operator for a classic sub, keep it simple. Oscillator Aeon sign, a controlled amp envelope, not some endless release. DNB sub is usually disciplined, especially if you want it to translate in mono consistently. Now we do the big move, splitting sub fundamentals from stereo bass tops, using an audio effect rack on the bass group. On your bass group, add an audio effect rack and name it LOWEND control. Open the rack chains and create two chains, one called SUB, one called TOP. On the SUB chain, put EQ8 first and set it as a crossover. Low pass at around 120 Hz. If you want strict separation, go steep, like 48 dB per octave. Then after that, put utility and set width to 0% again. The point is, anything that makes it into the sub chain is forced mono. On the TOP chain, put EQ8 and high pass it at the same crossover point, around 120 Hz. You can use 24 to 48 dB per octave depending on how surgical you want to be. This is the chain where you're allowed to have fun. Chorus ensemble, hybrid reverb, character, movement, whatever. But keep that fun out of the SUB chain. And a DNB specific tip. Don't treat 120 Hz like a religion. Your crossover can live anywhere from about 90 to 140 depending on the kick fundamental and the key of your tune. We'll even do a quick tuning method later. Now we get into the part that actually fixes most mono issues, alignment. In DNB, mono problems are usually alignment problems pretending to be EQ problems. Let's create a mono check anchor so you always test the same moment. Pick two bars in your drop where the kick and sub hit together, and there's also some mid-bass happening. Right-click the timeline and drop a locator called mono anchor. This becomes your home base. Every time you change anything low-end related, you come back here. Now, zoom in on the waveform, where the kick hits and the sub note starts. You're looking for two things. Is the sub starting late? And is the first half cycle of the sub pushing against the kick instead of reinforcing it? First quick fix, polarity. On either the kick track or the sub track, put utility and try the phase invert buttons for left and right, effectively flipping polarity. Toggle it while listening in mono. If suddenly the low end gets bigger and clearer, you just found a polarity mismatch. That's not cheating, that's engineering. Second fix, micro timing. Enable track delays. In live, at the bottom of the mixer there's a little D button to show delay. On the sub track, sweep track delay in tiny moves. Start with plus or minus 5 milliseconds. You can go out to plus or minus 10 if needed, but don't get wild. Here's the coaching part. When you're doing this, you're not hunting the loudest peak. You're hunting the most consistent punch and weight, hit after hit, especially once you force mono. Sometimes the best setting is the one that feels steady, not the one that feels like it spikes. And one more coach rule that will save you: separate phase problems from level problems. If mono feels weaker, do this in order. 1. Polarity flip. 2. Track delay sweep. 3. Only then touch gain or EQ, because if a 1 millisecond move brings the weight back, you never had a lack of bass problem. You had alignment. Alright, now we build a fast master mono check chain you can toggle instantly. On the master, add utility. Map the width control to a macro or a key if you like. Default at 100%, and when you want mono, set it to 0%. This is your 5-second check. You're going to use it constantly. After utility, add spectrum. Set it to a slower block size so it's readable. And pay attention to roughly 30 to 200 Hz when you toggle mono. You're not looking for a perfect curve, you're looking for consistent behavior. Especially in the 40 to 90 Hz region, which is basically the club contract. A lot of systems exaggerate it, and if it turns to mush in mono, your drop will feel like it deflates. Optionally, add a limiter at the end as a safety ceiling, like minus 1 dB. But I want you to do something important during checking. Occasionally turn that limiter off for 20 seconds, because a mix can feel stable in mono just because it's getting flattened by limiting or soft clipping. That's not stability, that's loudness artifact. So check with it off sometimes, just to be sure. Now for correlation and phase awareness, stock-only style. Live doesn't hand you a classic correlation meter in the default devices, but we can still do serious checks. Temporarily on the bass group, add a utility and set it to mid/side mode. Now listen to mid only, then side only. What do we want? In the side channel, there should be almost nothing meaningful under about 120 Hz. If you can clearly hear sub weight in the side, you've got stereo low end that will cancel when sum to mono. If you need to fix that, do it on the TOP chain. Add an EQ8 on the TOP chain, set it to M/S mode, and on the side channel, high pass somewhere between 120 and 160 Hz. If your bass tops are super wide or you're using something aggressive like roar on the top end, don't be afraid to push that side high pass even higher, like 160 to 250, if mono is getting smaller. Now let's set up practical, mono-safe chains for punch. On the kick track, at EQ8, high pass 20 to 30 Hz. If it's muddy, try a small dip around 200 to 350 with a moderate Q. Then add drum bus. Keep drive gentle, like 2 to 6. I'd be careful with boom. It can smear the low end and confuse mono. Use the transience control to bring the click and punch forward, maybe plus 5 to plus 20 depending on the sample. Then add saturator with soft clip on, drive 1 to 3 dB. This gives density without needing to crush it. On the sub track, we already did utility width 0. Now add saturator for harmonics, soft clip on, drive maybe 1 to 6 dB, and use your ears. The purpose is not to distort it into a mid bass. The purpose is to give the sub some audible harmonics so the bass line reads on smaller systems. Then EQ8 to keep the low end clean, with that 20 to 30 Hz high pass. Key idea, the sub does not need to be wide to feel huge. In drum and bass, mono sub is huge. Stereo sub is usually just expensive problems. Now we stop mixing in a vacuum and build a quick arrangement, because mono issues love to hide until the arrangement changes. Make a mini structure like this. Intro. First 16 bars, breaks and atmosphere, no sub. Drop A, next 16 bars, full drums plus your sub pattern, classic rolling two-step. Then a micro break. Remove the kick for 2 bars but keep the sub going. This reveals sub inconsistencies instantly because the kick isn't masking anything. Then drop B, bring in a mid-bass layer, extra hats, and any width. This is the stress test. Now do your mono toggles at specific moments. First kick of drop A. First bar where the mid bass comes in, the micro break with sub alone, and the reed entry when the kick slams back in. If mono makes the mix narrower, that's fine. If mono makes it smaller or weaker, we troubleshoot. And troubleshooting has a clean process. First, mute everything except kick and sub for a minute. Fix alignment and polarity there. Then unmute the rest and confirm it still holds. Context for decisions, isolation for diagnosis. Now let's add a powerful advanced workflow upgrade, a master audit rack. This makes you faster and more confident. On the master, create an audio effect rack. Macro 1 is mono, map to utility width, 0 to 100. Macro 2 is sub-only listen. Map it to an EQ8 low pass around 120 Hz and give yourself a range from about 80 to 160 so you can sweep. Macro 3 is top only listen. Map it to an EQ8 high pass around 120, again 80 to 160. Now you can go full mix, then mono, then sub only, then top only in seconds without reordering devices or losing your flow. Next, crossover tuning, the practical way. Instead of guessing 120 Hz forever, sweep your crossover while you're in mono at the mono anchor point. Move it slowly. Stop where the kick stops sounding hollow and the bass stops fighting. If your sub-note range is lower, like F around 44 Hz up to around 55, you can often run a crossover a bit higher, like 110 to 140, because you're separating the fundamentals from the harmonics cleanly. If your sub is higher, like C-sharp around 69 Hz, you might come down to 90 to 120, so you don't split the low end in an awkward place. Now a couple common mistakes to avoid, because these are the ones that waste hours. Don't widen the sub. That means no chorus, no unison, no reverb on the same chain as the sub fundamentals. If you want width, put it on TOP only. Don't layer multiple subs. Two subs is phase roulette. Choose one sub voice and make it work. Don't ignore the relationship between the kick fundamental and the sub note. If they're living in the same zone and they're not aligned, mono gets messy fast. Don't oversaturate the bass group. Saturation can create low mid buildup that feels like more bass in stereo, but collapses in mono and clouds the snare body. And please, don't EQ the low end in solo. Judge it with drums. DNB low end is a system, not a separate instrument. Now a pro move for translation without messing fundamentals. Parallel sub harmonics. Create a return track called SUB harm. On that return, add saturator, drive it up for harmonics. This audio version is shortened for playback.